Exodus 14, verses 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Exodus 14, verses 10, 11, and 12. Let me say it at once. In this discourse, in this paragraph here, as I speak to you, I have an enormous target here, and in a sense you can't miss, can you? The Israelites are so clearly wrong here, and there are so many things that can be said against them. But let me say at once that in saying these things against the Hebrews, I am condemning myself. I know what it is myself to be weak in faith, for darkness to creep over me, for circumstances to make me lose hope. I'm rebuking myself, brother and sister. Am I rebuking you? So as a preacher, I must address these issues. But one finger, as it were, pointed out, leaves three fingers pointed back to me. I am guilty here. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, the terror was real for the Hebrews. As Pharaoh approached. Now, those words aren't too bad, but we know what "as Pharaoh approached" means. He was coming with venom in his heart. He was coming to get his revenge, and he was coming with his mighty army. He was going to destroy the Hebrews. This is the onslaught that has been seen time and again in war. It was seen in the Second World War, the Blitzkrieg and so on. But now it is the Hebrews. They're hemmed in, and Pharaoh is going to destroy them. The Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching at them. They could see the Egyptians. They could see the sea behind them. They knew they were doomed. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. I'm not sure that that is a meaning that they really got engaged in prayer. I think it's just an outburst of despair directed toward God. But they turn to Moses? No, they turn upon Moses. And they said to Moses, actually, that's putting it mildly, I'm sure. They were bitter. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt you brought us out to die here? We said it all along, and so on. And here is poor Moses. He's a man too, only a man. You can see Pharaoh coming, and you can get the Hebrews onto him, and he knows the circumstances, and he is responsible. So here we see the Israelites in great fear, tremendous fear. And they make stupid, foolish, sinful, rash, bitter complaints against Moses. They repeat their former complaints. This is the history of the Hebrews. This is how they travel on. Their evil thinking gives way to evil speaking and rash statements, foolish statements. It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and so on. They forgot God's deliverances. They forgot the plagues, the miracles. They forgot his promises. They forgot the teaching of the first four verses of this chapter. The Lord had told Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back, camp there. And then he explained to Pharaoh, Moses what Pharaoh would do. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around, I'll come out. So it's all in the hand of God. But they saw the circumstances, and they were blind to God. They forgot his teaching, they forgot his providences, they forgot his promises, his power in the past. Peter took his eyes off of Christ, and he looked at the waves and the wind. and he began to sink. Hebrews 3 and 4 tells us that this was an unbelieving generation. They're blinded by fear. They're blinded by unbelief. They fear Egypt, and they forget God. They give up, and they give in. Pharaoh forgot God's judgments. Israel forgot God's mercies. And Moses is caught and trapped. They have short memories. Paul can speak of the trying circumstances of his life. 2 Corinthians 4. But God brought him through. And John Newton taught us to sing, if we're willing to sing it. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his, God's good pleasure to help us. Help me quite through. Brother, sister, will you learn to say it for yourself? Will you learn to experience it? Do you not rebuke yourself here? Are you not like the Hebrews? Do you not see the darkness, the difficulties? Do you not say foolish and rash things against God? Do you always remember his promises? Do you remember his providences and promises and his word, his power in the past, his teaching of his word for you? I had a correspondent yesterday who wrote to me, reminding me of something I quoted in one of my books, the book Christians Grow Old, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13, about the fiery trial. Not be surprised at it. Think about the eternal glory that is to come. I wrote that for others, now I have to take it myself. And of course I must take it, and I want to take it. As I said right at the beginning of this discourse, I'm criticizing the Israelites here, but I'm in the firing line. Lord, forgive my doubts. Oh, gracious Lord, forgive my doubts. William Cowper had a lovely hymn on this. He speaks of God's grace and mercy and so on. But he has to speak to himself and upbraid his own heart for wandering from God. And he knows that God is love and changes not. There's no shadow of a term with him. But then he has this verse. Sweet truth and easy to repeat. But when my faith is sharply tried, I find myself a learner yet, unskillful, weak, and apt to slide. Cowper can repeat the text. He can repeat the promises. He can repeat the truth of God's care and love. Sweet truth and easy to repeat. But when my faith is sharply tried, I'm still a learner. Unskillful, weak, and apt to slide. John Newton had a lovely hymn. Let me read it to you. I have rebuked the Hebrews. I've rebuked myself. I've rebuked you, brother and sister, haven't I? Yes. Be still, my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on the Lord and contradict his gracious word. Brought safely by his hand thus far, why wilt thou now give place to fear? How canst thou want if he provide, or lose thy way with such a guide, when first before his mercy seat thou didst to him thy all commit? He gave thee warrant from that hour to trust his wisdom, love, and power. Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Though rough and thorny be the road, it leads thee home apace to God. Then count thy present trial small, for heaven will make amends for all. So wrote John Newton, and so I sing. The Hebrews should have remembered God's word. They should have remembered his promise, his promises. They should have remembered his power and his providences. And this, as it seemed their darkest hour, was in fact leading to their greatest triumph. And yet they give way to despair and unbelief. I rebuke my soul. I want to go on and learn from this and keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Brother and sister, if the way is dark at the moment, if your eyes are clouded with tears, then look beyond the storm and the darkness and see the glorious promises. Jesus has not saved you and brought you thus far to cast you off. God's will is all for the best, for all things do work for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So be still. Let us pray for one another, that God will give us grace to rest upon his sovereign mercy, his sovereign providence, his fatherly care of us. And may we give him all the glory and be a striking testimony for his praise in the world. May he get the praise and we get the blessing.